Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it is time to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic, who is back and in business here. Adam, what's going on, brother? Good to talk to you.
Good morning. Long time no talk on the radio, at least.
That is correct. How's life? How's dad life going for you?
Dad life is going well. We're approaching 6 weeks. Everybody's great. Mom's good. Baby's good. You know, no complaints.
Sleeping getting better?
Yes. He's over 4 hours now.
Oh.
Like, at a time.
There you go.
Or thereabouts. Sometimes it's like 3 hours, 45 minutes. But the other night he set his personal record of 4 hours, 37 minutes.
Oh, Arlo, getting it done.
Did you freak out?
No.
Okay.
I freak out if the baby's breathing or not.
Well, Adam, congratulations. I know I've talked to you several times since, but congratulations to you and your family, and very happy for you. Very excited that you're back at work now as well.
Well, that makes one of us.
I'm sure that it does.
I'm telling.
So, Adam, let's start there with the Predators. We had this conversation a little bit earlier in the show. So far, it's preseason, and I know it ultimately means nothing, but Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, Philip Forsberg together as a line. Johansson and Duchene have been pretty productive in a couple of preseason games. Does that mean anything whatsoever in your book, and are you convinced that that's the line they're going to start off with to begin the regular season with Forsberg, Johansson, and Duchene?
Well, you're right. It is the preseason, so it's hard to get jazzed about meaningless results. But to answer your second question, yes, it seems to make the most sense from a personnel standpoint to put Matt Duchene on the right wing with Philip Forsberg and Ryan Johansson. Because there are two solid candidates to play second-line center. Mikael Granlund, who held down that role when Matt got injured last season and never gave it up, and Cody Glass, who was, of course, part of the Ryan Ellis trade. And John Hines, you know, absolutely sees Cody Glass as a center. I think he would prefer to keep Granlund at center, though he can play on the wing, as we know, which leaves Matt Duchene as the most logical candidate, I believe, to play on that top line. And I saw our dear friend Ryan Porth soliciting nicknames for that line, and I am very anti-line nickname unless it's like the French Connection or things of that nature.
The production line.
That are actually creative. But some people were going with the money line because they do make a lot of money.
They do.
Those are the three highest paid forwards on the team, and of course it has a 102.5 The Game tie-in, because you can listen to the money line with Ryan Porth and Chase McCabe.
Wow.
On 102.5 The Game.
Well done.
You know, I remember them playing together in the playoffs last year, and their underlying numbers were solid in a relatively small sample. Nonetheless, you know, when it comes to those three players in particular, if you're trying to get the most out of them, it makes sense to load them up on that top line, give them plenty of, friendly starts, offensive zone starts, and the like, and let them go. So, you know, when I think of, you know, what that top line might look like on opening night a week from Thursday, it would not surprise me in the least if those three were a unit.
Yeah, I mean, Porth, like, can a line play together for like a week in the regular season before we nickname it, like, and like score a goal? Like, can that happen first before we start doing line nicknames?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
I'm not a big line nickname guy. Like, unless, like I said, it's like something very creative.
Well, it may not have been creative, but I sure hope you tip your cap to the grind line, though, right? Because I mean, come on. Pretty sweet.
Yes.
Pretty sweet line. Pretty sweet name.
I think line combination nicknames, you know, even if they're not creative, I feel like you said there needs to be like a threshold of time that the line spends together before you nickname it. So the Forsberg, Johansson, Duchene line has not spent anywhere near enough time together to warrant a nickname. And I just would like to say that I am glad that Jofa, the nickname Jofa, has died a terrible, terrible death.
Wow. I didn't realize it died a terrible death, but it is dead. So I'm with you on that one. So what about two of the three guys on this line that we think will be together? What's your sense for Duchesne and Johansson, all that's gone on, all that's been said, all that's been done and hasn't been done? What's your sense for their approach and their prospects for this year?
Well, none of us were surprised when both of those players were exposed in the expansion draft because, one, they were unproductive last season, and two, it was unlikely that the Seattle Kraken were going to take on their onerous contract. But if you're either one of those players, I have to imagine, you know, athletes are prideful people. I have to imagine it didn't feel good to be left off that list. I mean, remember Ryan Johansson was on the protection list in the Vegas expansion draft and wasn't this time around. So, you know, I have to imagine that they're going to be motivated. But I've gotten to a point, especially with Johansson, you know, Duchesne, you know, to be fair to Duchesne, you know, he hasn't had, you know, a real full season with the Predators that hasn't been upended by a pandemic, though he still, of course, has not been productive. Johansson, on the other hand, you know, it's crazy to think that he's been here for almost 7 years. And when we know what he can do in the postseason, but, you know, I feel like we sort of reached a believe it when I see it kind of situation with Ryan Johansson. Look, he takes responsibility for his play, and I think we can all appreciate that. But until he actually, you know, practice what he preaches when it comes to being a productive member of this team throughout a regular season, you know, his words sort of fall on deaf ears, at least for me. So, you know, if they're put in positions to succeed by John Hines, and that means power play time, that means, you know, favorable offensive zone starts at 5-on-5 and matchups and things of that nature, and they can't be productive, you know, who's to say, you know, who knows what could happen. But when I look at Matt's season last year, you know, he certainly was snake bitten. I'll give him that. But overall, it has not been a great start to his Predators career over the past couple of years. And Ryan Johansson, you know, as you know, to put it bluntly, it's put up or shut up time. It's probably past put up or shut up time for Ryan Johansson, he's definitely in that mode where he can say whatever he wants about how he, you know, he knows he's responsible for being the number one center on this team and being productive, and he can take responsibility for his actions. But until he actually starts piling up points in the regular season, like I said, those words won't mean a lot to a lot of people.
Adam Vingan on the line with us from The Athletic, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Adam, we're starting to get close to the 23-man roster, obviously the season beginning a week from tomorrow. There's going to be a goaltender that gets sent back to Milwaukee, probably going to be Connor Ingram, so that leaves four more spots. You've got Michael McCarron still in camp. I would expect him to be cut. Philip Tomasino, Igor Afanasyev. You've got nine on defense right now. Who do you think is going to make this team, and will Philip Tomasino be a part of it, in your opinion, when the 23-man roster is finalized on opening night?
Based on what I've seen, and keep in mind, I've only been back at work for less than a week, but from what I've seen, you know, it would surprise me for Philip Tomasino not to be on the opening night roster, given the opportunities that the coaching staff has given him in the preseason. You're right. There are some interesting decisions left to be made. Of course, one decision that, you know, depending on who you ask, backfired yesterday was the Predators tried to sneak Rem Pitlick on waivers, and he was claimed by the Minnesota Wild.
Yep.
So Rem Pitlick, no longer a member of the Nashville Predators organization. But you have to keep in mind, in times like these, you know, waiver eligibility does play a huge factor in this. You know, Michael McCarron, for example, is not waiver exempt, but I doubt that he would get claimed. I was looking at Cap Friendly this morning to see which remaining players are eligible who are exempt from waivers, excuse me. And one name that I found to be interesting, is Matthew Olivier. So if Igor Afanasyev or Philip Tomasino makes the roster, you know, it might mean that someone like Matthew Olivier might start the season in Milwaukee just because he doesn't have to go through waivers. Now, neither Tomasino and Afanasyev also don't have to go through waivers. But if, you know, if one of those two players makes the team and you need an extra spot at forwards, you know, Matthew Olivier might be a candidate just because he doesn't have to pass through waivers to get to the American League. You know, I think Jeremy Davies is probably on the outside looking in. You know, Ben Harper is another player who I think would have to pass through waivers, but the Predators really seem to like him. So
yep.
Maybe they carry 8 defensemen. That would mean 13 forwards. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. And I think, you know, I would be surprised if Afanasyev is on the team at the start of the season. I would be less surprised if Tomasino was. And I think it's important that the Predators, as we've talked about at length since the season ended last year, give as many opportunities to their younger players as possible and put them in a position to succeed, starting with Philip Tomasino. So, you know, he fits right in. And this is a team that's looking for offense. So I would think it would be wise to at least give him a shot to start the season. He can go to the American League if he needs to, if he's not playing a lot or needs some more seasoning. But I think he probably deserves an opportunity to start the season in Nashville.
So from the Biloxi Bowl to the Milwaukee Mauler, potentially,
nice.
Here, starting out the season. Huh? Maybe.
Did you come up with that just now?
I did it. I mean, isn't that amazing? Just the brain power on display.
Well, during my answer, I think you were probably going, okay, what's a good word that starts with M?
I wasn't even listening to you. I was just doing that in my head. So, I before we let you go, I got to give you a big props on your Mark Berviewski story.
Yeah,
really well done. Way to come back with such a great story. You know, off paternity leave. I guess you know what was it like putting that together. And talking with him about that, and two, he's someone that you know people don't talk about much, but could actually you know be a nice piece here for this team this year. No.
Yeah, well, you know, first of all, I have to thank Mark and his wife Tara for being so open with me, and as you know, and as the listeners probably know, at the end of the season, Mark posted a long note to his Instagram talking about the. His first season in Nashville not going the way that he envisioned. He suffered a season-ending concussion in mid-March and actually may have been able to return to the lineup if the Predators would have advanced past the first round, but of course that didn't happen. But in that note, he mentioned learning he had obsessive-compulsive disorder, and I remember reading that note when it came out in early June and wanting to talk to him more about that. And you know, Mark is an incredibly open, well-spoken guy. I really enjoyed getting to know him since he's been here. When he signed here, everybody in Ottawa just sang his praises about how great of a guy he was. And I think it's important to detail these stories. While I was on leave, you know, Jonathan Drouin from the Montreal Canadiens, who took a leave of absence last season, you know, revealed in an interview with a French outlet in Montreal that he had anxiety and insomnia that was making it difficult for him to play, so he took a step back. And I think it's important that these conversations are had. So, you know, I was really – I appreciate Mark trusting me to tell the story. You know, when he told me that he had a panic attack during a game, you know, that was – you know, that was the, you know, I can imagine how frightened he was. And when I spoke to his wife about it, she was, you know, teary because she remembered how scared Mark sounded on the phone after the game. You know, I think Mark, you know, he's a third pairing defenseman, but I think he'll play a leadership role because I asked John Hines the other day, you know, now that Ryan Ellis is gone, Victor Arvidsson is gone, Kalle Yarmcroke is gone, you know, which players is he going to lean more on for leadership? And, of course, he named Roman Josi and Matthias Ekholm. You know, he mentioned Forsberg, Duchesne, and Johansson. He mentioned, as younger players, Colton Sissons and Luke Cunningham, but he also mentioned Mark. And that's one thing that he's really good at is being a leader. So, you know, he's healthy. He's got a fresh outlook on life. You know, I think he could be a very, you know, I think one thing that's important is, you know, his season, when you look at his numbers, his underlying numbers, he did not have a good year last year. But then you put it into context of what he was dealing with, and you would think, okay, well, he's feeling better now, so perhaps he'll have a better year. And I think he would certainly help the Predators' defensive depth if he can get into the lineup regularly.
Well, really well done. Adam, your check is on the mail with your gift card in it. So be ready for that.
From the money line?
Yeah.
From the money line drop? Yeah.
Well, Darren too, but yeah.
Yeah, Darren got me a gift card to Tin Roof, which is exactly what a father needs. You know, a $25 Tin Roof gift card.
That's right.
Sometimes you need to saddle up to the bar, you know.
One overpriced cocktail on me.
That's right. We appreciate it. Adam, thanks so much for taking the time to join us, and looking forward to the season getting kicked off next week.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Absolutely. Adam Binion from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll come back. We'll react to what Adam had to say there. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. The Nashville Predators in action. Last night in the preseason, the season officially begins a week from tomorrow as the Predators host the Seattle Kraken. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube as well. Our streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Thanks to Adam Vidkin for joining us in the last segment. Taking your thoughts now on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Donovan from Wisconsin texting in. Afanasyev is making that roster. He might. I would be surprised if he ends up making the team. He's been good in camp. I think there's a lot to like with Igor Afanasyev. He was the second-round pick in the same year Tomasino was selected. So, feeling pretty good about those two picks right now if you're David Poile and the Predators. I think I'd still be surprised if he makes it out of camp. I think he'll be up at some point this year. I'd like to see him in Milwaukee for a little while.
I mean, how many times over the years has there been someone like that who's young, who has a nice camp, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, but it's like, nah, it's not quite there yet. Go to Milwaukee, keep developing there. It's coming, but he seems like the classic example of the guy who's close, but, you know, a little bit more seasoning in Milwaukee, and then at some point he'll have a bigger role. You look at this lineup, and I think he benefits more from playing as much as he'll play there versus here. I mean, if he's on this team, how often is he a healthy scratch?
Yeah, I don't know. He's a good player. He's 6'3", about 210. He's a big guy, and I think he's going to translate to being a pretty good player for this team on the wing. You know, the thing is, you know, he does have some experience playing in the United States and over here on the North American rink. He played in the OHL. He did spend last year in the KHL over with Moscow. It's CSKA, Moscow, over in the KHL. Played well, only got 16 games last year. But he's a guy that I would just like to see have a little bit of seasoning. Like, I think Tomasino is ready. I think he's ready to play in the NHL. Afanasyev's had a good camp. I'm not quite willing to say that he's ready yet. But I think he'll be up at some point this year.
Yep.
Let's go back to the text line. George texting in. Robbie, Rocco Grimaldi has struggled to find favor under John Hines. Was he overvalued based on the 2018-19 season? His line mates with Craig Smith and Nick Bonino are gone. And is there a chance he's traded or waived before the season to free up a roster spot at forward? This is an interesting time for Rocco Grimaldi. Look, he can still play. I think he can still score. He can help this team offensively. I think John Hines and the big concern he's had with Rocco Grimaldi has been away from the puck on defense. And John Hines pretty much said as much after the game on Saturday against Tampa. You know, they've got all the ability and confidence in the world of Rocco's ability to help this team offensively. Can he play away from the puck? Can he defend better? You know, I think there are natural limitations that come with being 5'6" and 180 in the NHL. I mean, I don't know that you're ever going to be some elite defender if you're Rocco Grimaldi. Now, can you get to a point where you're serviceable? Not everybody has to be an elite defender, and I think Rocco Grimaldi can help this team. I do wonder, though, if they really like Afanasyev, and they really like Tomasino. I think McCarron's going to get sent down to the Milwaukee, depending on how many forwards they want to keep. Is there a chance that they either put Grimaldi on waivers or try to trade him? I don't know. I mean, I kind of thought there was a chance this offseason based on the way things ended and the way that the Predators have been going, which has been for more size. I thought there was maybe a chance that they traded Rocco Grimaldi. They didn't. He's still here. So I don't know. He's in a really interesting spot right now.
I mean, there were times last year when it felt like John Hines was doing everything he could to not play Rocco Grimaldi.
Yeah.
I actually didn't think he'd be here now. We've seen other small guys who are better players on this team. You know, they aren't here anymore for various transactions. So I think that's an interesting thought. And if he is on this team again, I don't see him having much of a role. I mean,
certainly,
if you're really struggling offensively, there's a guy who can come in and give you a speed burst,
sure,
and you know, juice things up a little bit. But it just doesn't seem like John Hines trusts him with his complete game.
No, and like I you know, with the young players being a part of it, unless you run into a slew of injuries, which, you know, that could happen in the NHL. Like, I don't anticipate Grimaldi being an everyday player. And if he's not going to be an everyday player, how often is he going to play? I mean, I don't know. Like, is Rocco Grimaldi just going to be your 13th forward all year? Maybe. Well, I mean, you could have worse 13th forward, but he's in a very interesting spot right now. Heidi from Dixon texting in. It'll be fun to watch the Predators again without the overhyped cup expectations. We got to get back to building the team instead of making compulsive off-season moves. This is coming from Heidi and Dixon.
Well, speaking of compulsive moves, Heidi, you just said you want Tennessee to hire Urban Meyer.
That is true.
Which, actually, any Tennessee fan would be
glad to say. You know.
Yeah, to Heidi's point, I guess it was more like this last year, but it was also a weird year anyway.
Yeah.
But this is the first time that the Preds actually can overachieve in a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, they actually can pleasantly surprise by making the playoffs. I mean, really. So I guess it was more like that last year, which, again, that's not good because it means that your team's getting worse relative to the rest of the league, which is what has happened. But at least it's going to take a lot for them to disappoint. For however excited that gets the fans.
You go by the Vegas odds, they'd be pretty hard pressed to disappoint if you're just strictly going by that.
Where do they rank in the league in those?
They're like 26th.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not good. So,
hey, if you're feeling good, Heidi.
Hey, maybe so.
Big odds.
That's right. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL pregame show live from Corner Pub in Bellevue this Sunday. The NFL pregame show features Jared Stillman, Mark Howard, and former Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Join them from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. live at Corner Pub in Bellevue at 8058 Tennessee Highway 100 prior to the Titans taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. The NFL pregame show is brought to you by TriStar Moving, Parman Tractor and Equipment, FreedomTireGuys.com, FanDuel, E2 Roofing, Hillside Medical, Social Furniture, and Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. We'll come back. We'll get back into the Titans. Take more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Play silly underdog picks today. Pick three football underdog teams you think will win this week for a chance to win. Go to thegamenashville.com for more details and to play. Silly underdog picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Now with two locations in Murfreesboro. Visit their brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
That's cool. I see how it is, Michelle. I see how it is. My God, bringing back terrible memories of being in places where people were playing Blink-182 and you're like, God, can I get some earplugs?
What's my age again? Sing it, Joe. Urban Meyer's saying that. What's my age again?
Why did anybody like Blink-182? They suck.
I love Blink-182.
So garbage. What? They're trash. They are trash. They are dog water.
Blink-182 is the worst perfect than song.
Well, at least like the Beach Boys.
Non-committal.
The Beach Boys have made good music, so I can forgive them for Kokomo. I can't forgive Blink-182 for existing.
But everyone knows the words to songs like that, so it's just so fun when you're out, you're dancing, everybody knows the words you're singing.
You go out now and you go to a place and they're playing Blink-182 garbage? Where? Where is this place?
We just had it in the hallway a minute ago, Chase told us.
Well, okay, it's like, but if you go out someplace, you will hear Blink-182?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me where so I never go there. tell me off the air so I know to never set foot in this establishment.
I got you.
God. What's wrong with people?
Oh, look, man, I don't know. I like
I shouldn't ask you. You think the Beatles are trash.
I do.
So, you know, I mean, we all have our things.
We do.
But I know I'm right that Blink-182 sucks.
You feel very strongly about this.
Did we ever get an answer?
I didn't until you start. You're playing them and making me listen to them again.
Did we ever get an answer on which one you hate more, Blink-182 or Creed?
I've always thought Creed. See, that's the thing. If you played it, then you know what I mean? Then it would be like, oh, yeah, actually, I hate them more.
But you got to witness Scott Stapp in person, and I think you've grown a little bit closer to Creed since that time.
We're down wide open. Also trash, but I don't know. I might actually dislike Blink more.
One step at a time, becoming a bigger Creed fan by the day.
I'm just biased. Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. Scott Stapp really tore it up there at Bridgestone.
Yeah, he did.
I mean, let's not forget, well, you know, to me, the triumvirate of suck was always Bush, Live, Creed.
Yeah.
The single word bad bands. I've had some friends of mine who have very much said, you just haven't listened to Live, so maybe there's some other Live stuff that I haven't listened to.
Nobody said you're really not taking a deep dive into Creed?
No.
Not giving them the benefit of the doubt?
No one has argued on their behalf to the credit of humanity. But, yeah, Blink-182, special place in music hell, for sure.
Donovan from Wisconsin texting in, Rex Road, them's fighting words about Blink-182. I'm telling you, there's a generational gap here.
Well, but it's not that far. I mean, I liked a lot of music that was out that was new at the same time.
Lop on YouTube.
I mean, I like Green Day. So Green Day is sort of like a band that Blink-182 tries to be like.
Kind of, yeah.
They just suck. Green Day doesn't suck. See, there's
YouTube
the difference.
Says Blink 182 greater than the Beatles.
No, of course.
Keep it coming, people.
Oh,
I'm
absolutely
here for it.
All day, baby.
Joe, I'm going to ask you a hypothetical Titans question. All right. You can pick one Titans player who has been either banged up this year or has been out, and they can be completely healthy the rest of the year. One guy. Which player are you picking? One guy that's been banged up or has been out. That can be completely healthy the rest of the year. Which player are you taking?
All right. But before I answer, so are you saying the other guys who are banged up would not play?
I'm not saying they would not play. I'm saying you can guarantee that this guy is healthy.
Is healthy
the rest of the year.
The rest of the year? Well, I mean, I'm going to go with Bud Dupree because, one, I mean, his situation is a lot more serious. Now, of course, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones could be dealing with the hamstrings all year, and it could be a problem and in and out of the lineup.
See, that's my answer is A.J. Brown.
Yeah.
I thought about Taylor Lewan.
Yeah, that's another one, too. But, I mean, the thing is, again, Taylor Lewan is 2 months further along than Bud Dupree on the ACL, and I think it's more mental slash just getting better and stronger otherwise than it is necessarily the knee. I could be wrong, and remember, he also hurt his ankle the other day. And with AJ and Julio, those are fine answers, but I just feel like again, you're saying you can pick one, and you know for sure this guy's healthy and he's playing. Well, I feel like both those guys are going to be back. I wouldn't be surprised. We're going to find out here soon at practice if either of them are out there. I wouldn't be surprised if one of them's back Sunday in Jacksonville. But Bud Dupree is such a huge question mark and such a concern because it's an ACL. It's very early. It's only, again, right now, it's 10 months, basically, from the time he tore the ACL. You tell me that guy is healthy with an offensive line, with an outside linebacker group that is so depleted, that so badly needs him. And I think if he is healthy and plays, and I think he will produce, I think he and Landry could be a pretty good tandem. So, yeah, actually, I think that's an easy pick for me.
Bud Dupree. I like it.
But I hear you. I mean, like if you knew A.J. Brown was going to play every week, that would mean a lot.
If A.J. Brown's playing on Sunday as bad as it was, the Titans win that game. Win that game on Sunday if A.J. Brown's playing.
I agree.
Now, the Jets should not be the bar.
And it's not making excuses.
No.
But I agree. you still have to win, but
yeah, there's no excuse for losing the game. But if A.J. Brown was in there, I think the Titans find a way to get it done.
I mean, if the Titans...
As bad as they played.
Right. I mean, I wrote this, but basically, like, if the Titans, if that lineup that played Sunday, if that was what their team was going into the year, what would they be picked? They'd be picked, like, third in the AFC South somehow.
Yeah.
Well, maybe not. Okay, they'd be picked second. Not. But they would not be picked. They would not. They're not a playoff team. On paper, they were not a playoff team.
Yeah.
I mean, I would argue that. Now, some people would say, wait a minute now. Derrick Henry, Ryan Tannehill, that's still not a playoff team. But, again, you're talking about A.J. Brown and Julio Jones in or out? You don't think that makes a massive difference in like, what you are or what at least what you should be as a team? Of course it does.
Henry on the text line, what group musically do you think best represents the Titans at this point? Well, they're not Creed.
No, they're not total trash, okay?
Jeez. Shout out to Scott Stapp. Hope you're listening. Nashville resident.
Yeah. John Oates would kick his butt. Also a Nashville resident. Now, there's a great band. That's a good question. I have to think on that a little bit. What are the titles? So what is a band that's just all over the map, sort of physically failing? Trying to think, like, I don't know. There's got to be something that comes to mind. A band that's very inconsistent, plays down to the competition, yes. Plays down to the venue.
Just got beat by the equivalent of Creed on Sunday.
Maybe like the Doors, you know, like every once in a while Jim Morrison will just show up so drunk and on acid that he's like just puked on himself and this concert's over in 5 minutes.
Maybe so.
Hopefully they're not playing This Is the End.
Jordan texting in, Joe is acting boomerish. Boomerish.
Again, I like music from the era, just good music from the era. So it's like Bush. A lot of people argue on behalf of Bush. They suck. But Bush ripped off the good music from just before Bush. See?
Yeah.
Bush was, you know, a band that was put together to be the next whatever. Pearl Jam, that's great music. Now, granted, it was 30 years ago. You're right. I'm almost boomer territory here, aren't I?
Dennis texting in, the Titans would be Radiohead. A great album and then an album like, what the hell was that? This is coming from Dennis.
Now, those are fighting words, Dennis. Don't mess with,
said they have great
don't
albums.
Mess with my Radiohead. Yeah, but all their albums are great. I know some people tuned out of Radiohead when they got a little electronic, but yeah. I still love them.
Steven with a vote for Lady Gaga. Guess you could take it any way you want it with the Titans.
Okay.
We'll continue. Take your thoughts on our text line when we come back. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025, The Game. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember, FDIC, equal housing lender. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Mike in Murfreesboro texting in, the Titans are Guns N' Roses. Some gigs, they just never show up.
Love it. That's kind of like the Doors thing, too. You know, like, yeah, like Axl and Slash are like puking in the same bucket, and they just, yeah. Basically the same idea.
Very well done. Gator Tim texting in, Bud Dupree healthy will give you as many sacks as he has so far this year. Another J-Rob bust.
Wow. Out on Dupree, huh?
Already going bust with Bud Dupree.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of an overreaction here. We'll see. I think he's a good player.
Maybe it's just the Titans. Clowney's got 2 sacks right now.
Mm. He's a part of a very good defense.
He's on pace for like 8.5, 9 sacks this year.
Not bad. And he's not a sack guy, remember.
He's not.
Still a good player.
Already has 3 tackles
for loss. At least he has been a good player. Maybe he is again. Just took a year off from being a good player here in Nashville.
Maybe so. Got a texter that says, the Titans' defensive scheme is suspect. They haven't been the same since Dean Pease left. I will say it's not going overly well for Dean Pease in Atlanta so far, although very little talent on that Falcons defense.
Did you see him going off on the media?
Oh, yeah.
I'm watching that, and I'm like, why'd you come back? You
know what I mean? Just go retire,
like,
man.
I like Dean, but like, if some of these things that people say about your admittedly bad football team bothers you that much, like, why come back for that aggravation, you know? One time he got super mad at me about a Malcolm Butler thing I wrote. He was like, well, that's why I don't read the paper anymore. I'm like, okay, Dean, thanks.
Appreciate you. Apparently you do, but appreciate you.
but after that, he didn't read it anymore. But, he's a good DC. The Titans miss him for sure. He's better than good. He's an outstanding DC. The Titans miss him. It's always that question of, like, last year, if Dean Pease was a coordinator for that team, is he making Jonathan Joseph, like, cover somebody? Is Vic Beasley making a play before he gets cut? Is Clowney doing anything? Like, I don't know. I'm sure it would have made a difference, but how much of a difference? I don't know, man. It's still a Jimmy's and Joe's game. I still just think that the issues there, not trying to, like, just take it off Shane Bowen's plate, but I think they're more personnel than they are coaching. They go hand in hand. They both have to be better, but I think it's more a personnel issue than a coaching issue.
That's not going to fly.
You agree with me or no?
No.
No?
The personnel has been completely changed over. If this defense sucks again this year, you can't bring Shane Bowen back next year as DC.
But, okay, I'm not saying you can or you should, but changing over personnel doesn't mean you brought in good personnel.
Sure.
Like, you can change over personnel and still not be good, right?
Sure. Well, and the other part of this is, sure be nice to have your first-round pick out there and available. Sure be nice to have your free agent that's getting paid $16 million in there and available.
So, again, we're talking personnel.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it's like an overwhelming, like either side is like outweighs the other, but I would drift toward right now they have players. I mean, again, like,
I think,
like,
it's
I'm
a fair
watching
question.
Jenkins and, you know, he's okay.
It's a fair question if you're a Titans fan. Why do you keep having all these coverage busts and why do you keep playing 12 yards off the line of scrimmage?
Yep.
I mean, they showed a clip the other day, and I want to say it was Jenkins. He was, like, literally 15 yards off the ball.
Well that's what Vrabel actually said that.
Yeah.
Like wait a minute. Well, but now – and that's a valid point, and they definitely – I think the corners last year and times were just like, what are you doing? And you got to – as coaches, you got to – like, you've got to stop that, right? I mean, it's ultimately the players have some freedom in a – you know, there's press, there's off, and then there's some freedom within that. But there's also been times when they have pressed and they've gotten smoked.
Oh, yeah.
So let's keep that in mind, too. It's not as simple as, yeah, just play press. You'll be better off. But, yeah, like on third and four, you can't give 10 yards of cushion.
No.
Yeah, there's some – again, I asked Anthony Midget the other day about, like, the communication, some of the – and he basically said it's more like finishing plays than is that. But I know one of the Jenkins – the Cole big play in overtime was Jenkins late and he was screaming to try to get the call before the play. Like, that stuff can't happen.
Yep. Dennis texting in earlier in the show. Guys, that Urban Cowboy thing I did got over 1 million views and more than quadrupled my number of followers. So I should have put your logo on it.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Dennis.
I saw so many people screenshotting that and retweeting it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's pretty magical.
It is. Good well done,
for,
Dennis.
If you want it, good for you, Dennis. If you wanted those followers, now you have more trolls. So, you know, you take the good, take with the bad.
Sir Adam from East Nashville texting in. Ask Joe what his favorite one-name post-grunge band is. Bush, Fuel, Live? What is your favorite one-name post-grunge band?
Fuel had a song I liked, so I'll go with them.
Going with Fuel.
What was that song, Shimmer? I like that song.
Sure, man.
Sure. Give me Fuel. But yes, that's a like you had that. You had all the like one word bands, and then you had like Blink 182 and like SR 71, like these stupid names with numbers.
Like
in
a
them.
Droid from Star Wars.
God,
nice siren on the background there.
That's someone coming to arrest someone for playing too much Blink 182. Hopefully.
Oh. Any news on Urban Meyer today? We think this is it. As Shad Khan put this to bed yesterday. Are we done? I wonder if Mike DiRocco's correct, and maybe there are more videos coming out. I don't know if I can handle more videos of Urban Meyer this week.
So what? He talks in a half hour.
Yeah.
So in a half hour, we'll learn more of Urban about his latest apology. Now listen, guys, Okay, one thing I didn't tell you is that someone also was badgering me in the bathroom. I was just trying to go to the bathroom and look at pictures of my grandkids, and then someone dragged me in there. And so I want to apologize for that, too.
And they wanted to buy my drink, so I just said, yeah, you know, whatever. Yeah, let's do that at the bar.
He better own it at this press conference.
No, he's not going to.
I hope he at least bought, like, the whole bar around, right? You're going to be in this bar groping people? Like, shouldn't you at least buy a drink
for everybody? Drinks on Urban.
Yeah.
John Wall did that one time in Kentucky.
Did he?
Bought the entire bar. John Wall shots.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh, they were called John Wall shots?
Yeah, they're like this UV blue, just disgusting.
And we'll have to learn more about those tomorrow.
I'm going to guess Urban Meyer didn't do that. That does it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donica chased up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.